Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is Daf Dalet, and we are holding right on the bottom of Daf Gimel Omud Beis. So we've been talking about all of the Ma'amarim of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and we have more Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, this is the four lines up from the bottom, Krach Shecharav ulebesof Yashav Nidon Kikrach. So let's say that we had a city, and it was destroyed. And then it was built up again. So the halacha over there is that it gets its din back, and it reads on the 15th. Now the question is, what is meant by the word charav? Do you mean that the choma was destroyed and no longer had a wall around it? So then what you're saying makes no sense, because you're saying only if it was rebuilt that then it gets its din back. But lo yashav, if it wasn't rebuilt afterwards, it doesn't get its din back. But that's not true, because we have that famous, beautiful limud of the way that the Torah is merames by writing the word asher lo choma, even though we pronounce it asher lo choma with, obviously when we say pronounce, we mean with the kavon, that's like an with an e, you know. So this is lo with a vav, not lo with an olive. See, nobody follows Anna Green Gables anymore. It's only 100 years out of time. Come on, guys. So anyway, so the lo with the olive is a remez that even if there is no wall, asher lo choma, doesn't have a wall, right? It's adorable. So if that's the case, that's the whole point. Afa pisha ein lo akshav, even though it does not practically have a wall, but it did have a wall. Vayalo kodem lechein. So lemaisa, this is a remez to the etzem din about batei orechoma in the Torah. So how could you possibly say that it's nidain only if it were rebuilt? Now, Rashi learns that this is referring to the halacha of batei orechoma. And we're bringing it here, but this whole discussion was referring to batei orechoma when it came to the idea of the Megillah. We weren't actually referring to this whole halacha, particularly of Megillah. It wasn't Nogea Megillah. Netosis disagrees, and he says it's exactly the same halacha of the yeshiva back again. So what would it mean? Even though it doesn't have a wall now, alamai charav shecharav mi'asara batlanim. It means that there's a minimum of 10 batlanim that are, you know, they always make fun of the people that claim that the Kilo guys are a bunch of batlanim. Well, anyway, that's basically what it means is that there are 10 guys learning in Kilo, and they're always available to have a minion. So therefore, if you have 10 batlanim in a town, that gives it its chashivas, because that's a kfiyus for the Beit HaKnesset, and there's always a minion there. And so, by the way, there's a lot of small towns in the U.S., that actually invested in bringing kollels into town so that they should have a seder kavua and a tefillah kavua in the Beit HaKnesset. It's not so insulting to say that a bunch of batlanim. That's a job, to be a batlan. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lod. Now we're getting into specific cities that we're going to try to identify them. And Rashi says, the only reason we're identifying these particular cities, and Barnea is getting ready to go into action over here, as you can see, put on a double mask. The only reason that we mention these cities is because their walls appear to have been recently built. And therefore, people thought that these were not walled cities in the time of Yeshua. However, he has a Kabbalah that the city of Lod, the city of Ono, and the city of Gea Charashim, all in Binyamin, are mukafot choma mimot Yoshua bin Nun. What? But it says that they weren't even there in the time of Yoshua. They were built later by El Pa'al, who was one of the members of Binyamin. And this occurs much later in Divrei HaYomim. So how could they, if he built them, how could they have been there before? Doesn't it say, Uvnei El Pa'al, Ever Mish'am V'shamer? And then it says, and this El Pa'al, Hu Banat Ono V'et Lod Uvnotem. So then that means that he was the one who built them and the suburbs. So how do we get to the idea that it was there from Imot Yehoshua ben Nun. Now that is based on a mistaken idea. Because when you say that someone built something, does it mean necessarily that you built it from scratch? Or could it also refer to rebuilding? In other words, is a shiputz considered to be, the Gemara is going to use the word shiputz. So is a shiputz considered to be a building? So let me ask you something. What would you say about the fact that the Torah describes much later, at the time of Asa, that Asa built them? V'lataymech, didn't Asa banani? Dichtiv, v'yiven Asa toreya b'tzirot asher liYehuda. Now, there is no such posik, as Rashi points out. So that's a little bit confusing. However, remember, it's the derech of the Gemara, never to quote things precisely, because this is Torah Shebaal Peh. You're not reading it from the inside. And so, as the Mefarshim say, the Gemara is bedavka, sometimes makbid not to bring it, kitsurata. But it does say, vayiven ore mitzura b'Yehuda. I think they made a song out of that, actually, some years ago. So it was very sweet. But anyway, so Asa definitely built these fortified cities. These are included in the fortified cities. And even though it says Yehuda, we know, again, as Rashi points out, we know that he built the cities in Binyamin as well. And he was a melech. When we say Yehuda, Yehuda included Yehuda and Binyamin at the time. Therefore, Amar Rebbe Elazar, the whole point is that these cities went through hell. These cities were mukafot chomamimot Yeshua ben Nun hava. But remember, they were in Binyamin. And what does it say about Binyamin? That all of these cities in Binyamin were destroyed in Pelegesh Begiva. It says that the rest of Klal Yisrael burnt down all those cities. And so they were destroyed. Came along El Pa'al later, and he rebuilt them. So Banani. And then, when they fell into disrepair, Hadar Inpo, Asa came along and he was Mishapetz, Shapzinu. So then that means when it says El Pa'al Vayiven, in both cases, in Asa's case, Vayiven, Vayiven means a shiputz. I'll prove it to you. Because if you take a look at how Asa presents the building project to the population, so it says over there, Daikanami, Tichti Vayomer LeYehuda, Nivne et Ha'arim Ha'ela, let us build these cities. What do you mean, let us build these cities? If they don't exist, that's not these cities. They don't exist yet. You can say, let us build cities. You can't say, let us build these cities. So the point is that these were already cities when he was going to build them. Bichlal da'arim avim me'ikoro. So then what's he doing? He's doing a major shiputz. So we're calling that building. Furthermore, Rabbi Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, yet another mimer of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Nashim chayavot b'mikra megillah. Oy. I forgot the recording, the other recording. Nashim chayavot b'mikra megillah, sha'af hein ayu b'oto ha'nes. Women are also chayav in mikra megillah because they were included in that nes. Now, what does it mean when you say they were included in that nes? You will recall every time we've had this, we've had a machlokas between Rashi and the Rashbam. Over here, Tosus weighs in on the side of Rashi. And the meaning could be, which is the Pashtas, that since the Nes was done for women and they were just as much danger of the men of being killed by Haman, it says Beferish, Nashim, right? Vataf. So therefore, why would they not be chayav in all of the mitzvahs that were nigram because of the Nes of the Hatzolah from that Gezer? Always the Rashbam learns that Afein Ayu Boto HaNes means that the Nes was achieved by the women. Meaning, not Afheim with the men, but Afheim in the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were part of the Etzem HaNes, because over there the whole Nes took place with Esther. And in Mitzrayim, where it uses the same Lashon, Lagabi the Chiyuv of women, it says over there, Afein Ayu Boto HaNes, because of Nashim Tzidkaniyot. And when it comes to the story of Hanukkah, we have the story of Yehudunt. Sha'afin ayubot ha'nes. Over there, it doesn't make that much sense to make them like in Iker in the Nes, but fine. The question is, what does it mean when it says, Nashim chayavot b'mikra megillah? So Tosfos says, the mashma'ut is that the chiyav is in the kriya. If that's the case, then a woman should be able to be motzi, a man, with the kriya, because she is chayavet in Kriya Mamash. That's what it says. In which case, there should be no problem. Now, the Ritva agrees with this, Also, the Mashmaut is in the Rambam that that's the case. Rashi says this in Masechet Erechin that that's the case. The problem is that as Tosis brings, it's Mashma, not Mashma, it says Beferish in the Tosefta, that a woman is not Motzi, because it says you can only be Motzi as Mina, talking about over there about the problem of Tumtum and androgynous, which if Lamaisa and Isha is Motzi, it shouldn't make any difference. And Tosis brings from the Bahag the same thing, that it's only possible to be Motzi another woman. So why would that be? That would be because, according to them, the mitzvah of the woman is not likrot et hamegilah, but rather to be shomat et hamegilah. Masha'in ken, those who have a chiyav of kriya, you can't be motzi them if your chiyav is shmiya. You can't be motzi somebody whose chiyav is kriya, because you can't say that it would be the same as the shomea ke'one in that case. So this leads to a lot of chumra, as you know, a lot of political problems about whether women are able to be korot. First of all, the Ritva himself, who brought the das that there's no problem of a woman being motzi, he says, but it would be inappropriate in Tzibur because of the Kavanat Tzibur. So then there's a question whether that's true, even women being motziot, all women, a woman's minion, so to speak, for Mikra Megillah. Okay, Lamaisa, most of the poskim say it's ridiculous to be machmer even on that. Ad kedei kach. So that already, you can get away with to get some political traction if you're a rabbi, or you're on the governing board of the shul. So you have what to do. But the problem is that if you hold that, that's the way the Ran explains the Bahag, and the Rambam brings this as well. And basically, this is the way that it's brought into Kaczynski's Luach as well. And Rav Shlomo Zalman was noyag this way, that the meaning of it is that the woman is not chayevis bekriya, she's only chayev b'shmiya, in which case she should be making the brocha of lishmoa megillah and not likro megillah. And therefore, it would be, I mean, the Magen Avraham says that therefore maybe she shouldn't be korat even for herself. Because if her mitzvah is a mitzvah of shmiya specifically, so maybe that kriya is not the correct kriya that she would be yotze from. Okay, fine. So that as I said, as the Rav Shlomo Zalman pasuk, we shouldn't be so machmarat kedekach. But then there's another fascinating question, which is, this is an amazing question. Suppose a woman was already yotze yedei chovata. Hey, Gavi, I want to tell you, today we're coming to your neighborhood in the Gemara. So I would advise you to show up. And if you're not appropriately dressed or whatever, then get so quickly, because we are coming to Birya very soon. So you're not going to be able to hide behind the screen. So the question over here is like this. Suppose the woman was already Yotzi Yedei Chova. Can she, in those circumstances, be Motzi'a another woman? Because in order to be Motzi'a, or to be Motzi, somebody else, where you were already Yotzi Yedei Chova, so you can't say that you're a Chayev Bedover, right? So what is the basis of making a bracha for someone who can't make the bracha on their own, and you make a bracha for them even though you're not Chayev in that bracha? What's the basis of that Chiyev? That is based on Arvus, right? So the Mela, you have a Yitchayvut to see to it that everybody else does their mitzvahs. Is a woman Chayevet in Arvut? Because remember that the Gemara in Saita says that the number of britot in the Torah was the number of the mispar b'nei Yisrael squared, because everybody was chayev for everybody else's brit. But the number of mispar b'nei Yisrael was all men. Of course, you could say the same thing is true. If you're not 20 years old, you can't be motzi on arvus. So it's not such a powerful limud, right? But anyway, the question is, do we really have a marker that this concept of arvus is a concept that a woman would be able to be motzia others even though she was already yotze? That's fascinating. Okay, the Bir Halacha actually raises this question. All right, I just thought that these are some really special points that was kedai to mention. Okay, continues now another mimer of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. V'yamer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Suppose Purim comes out on Shabbos. Okay, so now We said, now Lamaisa, this doesn't happen, of course, today, except for people in Yerushalayim, which is that the 15th comes out on Shabbos. You might want to sweep the house also, Gavi. So, but here it's talking about that the 14th comes out on Shabbos. That doesn't happen today. But then it could have happened if you're in Kadosh HaPiariyah. So Purim Shechal Lihiyot B'Shabbat, what do we do? We know that we cannot read the Megillah on Shabbos. So nonetheless, we should bedavka be shoalim v'dorshim b'inyono shoyom. We should have discussions about the Megillah and give over shiurim about the Megillah, because this way, even though we can't read the Megillah, but we can be mefarsam the neis by discussing the Megillah. I understand. This is not a din in Purim. This is a din in every single yontiv. I mean, my area of Purim, well, just because Purim came out, I mean, this, even if it would be any yontiv, the Tanya, Moshe tikei lehem leYisrael, shiyu shoalim v'dorshim binyono shoyim, hilchot pesach v'pesach, hilchot atzeret v'atzeret, hilchot chag v'chag, you need to have a drosha on that day. So if that's the case, why would we need to mention that there is a special din about Purim? By the way, of course, I'm sure you're all bothered by the fact that, as everybody knows, it's a din in Shloshim Yom Kodem Lachag. It's not a din in Dafka in the Chag. So clearly there were two completely, as Rishonim explained, there were two completely different issues. The drasha on the day itself, that is a mechuyavut that everybody would have, and everybody comes to shul the inyan of Dorshim. Over there, it's talking about if some questions are raised in the Tzibur. So then, if people have a problem, you know, is Ramot considered to be part of Yerushalayim? That type of thing, you would be the big derish in. But this halacha that there's an inyan on the yontif itself, that is different, and that is a chiyav gomer. So why do I need to know Purim? Ah, because Purim is trichale. I might have thought it's usher to have these shiurim on Purim. Because when you're talking about the shiurim on Purim, it's bedavka, according to many, I mean, that makes the most sense in the sugya, it's bedavka shiurim about Megillas Esther. And therefore, I might have thought that in the same way you're not allowed to read the Megillah because of the Gezerah, Shema Yetatalenu Arba Amis Pershus HaRabim. By the way, Shema Yetatalenu Arba Amis Pershus HaRabim, which we're about to discuss, also has two completely different approaches. One is, why Arba Amis Pershus HaRabim? Why not Arba Amos? Why not, you'll take it out of your house into Rosh HaRabim, right? So Tosfos says, because it's less, not here, but in the place we've talked about this before, that to walk out of your house, we had the same question by Shofar and Lulav. So to walk out of your house carrying something, you remember not to walk out of the house because you need to walk out of the door. But what we're talking about over here is where you're already outside. And there you're not realizing that there's a problem of tiltul. So there we say that's the most likely scenario. Tosus, Rashi here says the opposite, that the reason that we bring Shemit Atalenu Arba Amis Pershus HaRabim is because if I would have said that we're afraid you'll take it from home to shul, and then you'll be carrying from Shayach to Shusharabim and from Shusharabim to Shayachid, then I would have thought that in the event that you're outside and you're camping out on that Shabbos, so then maybe there is a chiyuv to read the Megillah. Kamash moment, we're going to make that takana even if you're outside because Shema Yitatzon Abraham is Prishurab. Those are two different approaches. So since over here you're going to be Derech, the Inyonim of the Megillah, I would say the same Gezerah that Rabba made applies here. Nigzar Mishum de Rabba. That maybe you'll carry the Megillah. Kamash Malan. Now that's a very reasonable approach, except it's not the approach that Rashi has. For some strange reason. Obviously, the strange reason would be that I'll explain to you why I say it. But that the reason would be that the drasha does not have to be focused on the Megillah. The drasha is focused on the Dinim of Purim. So why would we be worried that maybe he'll carry the Megillah? So Rashi says the reason over here is because we would be gozer one unto the other, which sounds very far-fetched. Gozer one unto the other. What, that if we allow you to come to shul to hear a drasha, so Manela, you may also come to shul carrying a Megillah? I mean, apparently Rashi holds that one was really not nogea the other. And therefore, we're worried that once you get into the swing of things and you're coming to shul for Purim, you know, oh, it's Purim, we'll bring the Megillah. And so, okay, that's how he learns. Vam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Chayav adam likrot et ha-Megillah ba-layla, ve-lishnota ba-yom. So you have to read the Megillah at night, and then you have to do it again in the daytime. What's the makar for that? Shenemar Elohai, ekra yomam velota ane, velaila velot bumiali. So there I was crying out with the tzara. This is in the mizmar of Ayelat HaShachar. And remember that whole mizmar of Ayelat HaShachar is all about Esther. Like the Gemara explains, why was Esther called Ayelat HaShachar? Because of the fact that the Nes of Purim was like the dawn of a new era. That just like the Shachar is the end of the Laila, amazingly, as the Gemara will say, Purim was the end of miracles. So we have a new dawn, which we no longer live with these miracles. What a way to look at it, right? But of course, that's the whole lineage of Purim being the beginning of the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence much more in the normal events of how things work out. And that's really the beginning of a vision of life that ends up understanding quantum mechanics as opposed to causality. And therefore, if you live in a world of causality, so then you need miracles in order for anything to change. But if you don't live in a world of causality, now you're in a totally different world in which the imminence of the Shekhinah is much more profound. And so since at the beginning over there, it says, Ekra Yomam, in this Mizmar of Esther, which is Ayelat HaShachar, so she describes the terrible pain and fear of the destruction of Haman. So it says over there, we cried out at night, and we didn't get answered. In the day, we didn't get answered. And all night long, I was crying. And I never stop. I have to keep hoping for some kind of Yeshua. Okay, so therefore, it's mashma that in order for us to remember the inyanim of that kriya, we should be Isaac and the Megillah both at night and the day. Now, this is a little bit strange because according to many of the Rishonim, the idea of reading the Megillah at night is not really the original takana. The original takana was to read the Megillah in the day, like all of the mitzvahs of Purim. You're not Yotzi the Sudas Purim at night. You have to do the mitzvahs of Purim in the daytime. And that was true of the Megillah as well, so that the Ikar Kriya of the Megillah, according to that, would be in the daytime. And it's only that later on, where the Chazal saw that there were people that was difficult for them to come at night, and so they made it takana to extend another Kriyas Megillah in the evening before. Now this is very nogea, the bracha of Shehecheyanu, because the question would be, do you make a Shehecheyanu in the daytime? Now, of course, what we say is, well, in the daytime, you make a Shehecheyanu, and that way you'll have in mind the mitzvahs of Purim and so on. But, I mean, the Iker question is, do you make a Shehecheyanu on the Megillah in the day? So if the Iker Chiyuv of the Megillah in the day is the daytime, you would make a Shehecheyanu. And that's the way the Rambam paskens. So that what we do is just the Ravchata, the Milta, we say, oh, let's have in mind the other mitzvahs that weren't exactly Nogea the night before. But Lamaisa the Sfardim don't pasken that way. And they do not make a separate Shehecheyanu in the daytime, because that Shehecheyanu that is made on the night to them is the Iker mitzvah anyway, the same mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. And therefore you'd be Yotze all of the inyanim of the holiday. You'd be Yotze with that Chaim L'Chaim Barnea, that you would be Yotze with that Kriya. Now, the Talmidim who were there, and they thought that he was speaking about Mishnah, because he said Lishnota. And they were Bedayik in terms of Lashon HaKodesh, as Rashi says, that Lishnota is a remnant of the Mishnah. So they thought it meant that a person is supposed to read the Megillah at night, and then in the daytime, he should learn the Mishnayos of Masechet Megillah. Not that he should read the Megillah again in the day. Why read the Megillah again in the day? So they thought it meant, Lemikaraya Belaila, read the Megillah at night, and then in the daytime, mit the matnit and tinda. So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah said to them, no, it doesn't mean that. Actually, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba explained it, that what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said was, it's the way that people speak. It doesn't mean the Shinota. in Lashon HaKodesh, like people say in Aramaic, Evor Parshata Da V'itnaya. It means to go over it again. Then that means to redo it. It's not a Lashon of Mishnah, of the Seder of the Mishnayas. Itmar Nami, Omer Rabbi Chelba, Omar Ula Bira. Here we are, Gavi. So we are now in Biria, and we're there together with Ula. And he said, Chayav Adam Lekrota Megillah Balayla, Vilishnota Bayom. But he brings a different Makor. Shenemar, Leman, this is a Makor that's much more appropriate for Gavi. Now this is in Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit, Haromim Hashem Ki Dilitani, V'lo Simachta Oivailit, which is it's fascinating. This is a completely different tonality here, right? In other words, if you're learning it out from the psukim of the Tzora, that there I was crying all day, it didn't work, I was crying all night, and I was waiting, so then that would be the one Lashon. And this Lashon is on the contrary, that we find that there's a same idea of Lo Yidom, but it's Le'olam Odeka, and that means both in the daytime and the nighttime, out of happiness. So I was thinking that this relates back to the Gemara that we had about the Harel. Because the Gemara is going to say later on that Kriyas HaMegillah is the Halal of Purim. And remember that we said by Halal Mitzrah that the Nevi'im Shebeinayim were gozer, that you say the Halal during the Tzora, and then Kishini Galim Mimena Omrim Oto HaGeulatam. So it could be that there's really two inyanim. So the Megillah has in it the Ekra and the crying out, the Zak, but it also has Yizamer, Odeka, so it has both of the inyanim. Okay, so by the time we get to Biria, we're Baruch Hashem, we're happy with Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid, which by the way, as Rashi brings, the Tosefta actually explains, when is this not even a sip yet? He's got it in every message. Very good. Okay, we'll see later on about Tokvo Shel Nas. Excellent. All right, beautiful. Now, continues the Mishnah. All right, so we've explained 14 and 15. How in the world did we end up getting 11, 12, 13? Where is that? Now, Amar Rabbi, so we said, Ela Shakvarim Akdimim Liyom HaKnisa, it's because they are able to go back. And Amar Rabbi Chanina, what's the marker of this? Because Chachamim Ekilu Al Akvarim Liyot Makdimim Liyom HaKnisa. The Chachamim said, let them go to the Yom HaKnisa, which as we mentioned, is Monday and Thursday, according to Rashi, remember, because it's the Yom HaKnisa based on the Takana of Ezra, that the Bote Dinim are Yoshvim, and therefore they're going to have to go travel to the big city. So there you got Ira going all the way to Haifa just because he has to go to court and so on. What a schlep. So we're going to make him go twice. Because of that, he could go only once. That's Rashi's approach. However, the Rambam's approach, and just about everybody else, is Yom HaKnisa doesn't mean you leave town. Yom HaKnisa means to get together a minion in your shul. That's the Prat Yom HaKnisa. So because the Yom HaKnisa sits the Kriyas HaTorah is on Sheni V'Chamishi, so they were makel that you don't have to get together a separate minion for the Kriyas HaMegillah. Which is very reasonable. The thing is that what is new over here is that Reb Chanina is saying, why did we give them that kula? We gave them that kula so that they would be available for pizza delivery. Because if everybody's making their Siddur Purim, and I mean, if all these yeshiva guys are calling, I mean, God only knows how many pizzas are going to be going out on Purim, who in the world is going to be delivering all of those pizzas? So therefore, the Chachomim were makil on them in order to make sure that we have enough volt deliveries. Apparently, says the Gemara, but that doesn't seem to add up. Here it says, "Kidei shiyasapku ma'im amazon lachem shebikrachim." They should be available to make the delivery, says the Gemara. But that would mean, "Lameimer de takanta de krachinavi." The main reason that you made this takana was to allow these people to be available for the other people who will be reading bismanam. But that's not true, because take a look what happens in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if the 14th comes out on a Monday, so then. A Monday is Yom HaKnisa, right? And it says in the Mishnah that the Kvarim That means even the small villages are going to read on Monday. Why are they going to read on Monday? How are they going to do the pizza delivery? So they should be reading on Thursday before the imita. If you're telling me that the whole point of the takana is to allow them to be available to take care of the deliveries, so then why don't they go back l'kadmuli yom haknisa? No, you know the answer to that. If you're going to move from Monday back to the previous Thursday, then you're going to be going from the 14th all the way back to the 10th. And the 10th wasn't included. We darshan zmanim kizmanehem, right? So you only have those two extra days. You can't go back 3 days, really 4 days, but the 13th we're not including. The atzora lo takinu rabbanan. Okay, fine. So read the next part of the mission, okay? If it comes out on a Thursday, again, it says that if you live in a kvar, you still read on your normal day. Why? Because if you're actually imita, if you're right that we need you to be available for deliveries, then they can move back till Monday. Moving back to Monday from Thursday still only gets you back to the 11th, and therefore we should have them move back. So obviously the point is not for the benefit of other people. It was for their benefit. It needs to make sense. So if we say they go back to Yom HaKnisa, we're not going to go from one Yom Knisa to another Yom Knisa. There's always the logic of why, and then there's the mechanism of what, as we've pointed out so many times. So I understand the logic of why is in order for them to be available for deliveries. But I mean, it has to make sense what we're going to tell them to do. What are we going to tell them to do? Well, don't read today because what? Go back to Monday. Okay, so if it's a Yom Knisa, and they didn't have a Yom Knisa, so we made that takana of the Yom Knisa. Nope, that's not good enough for me, because Tashma, take a look, the Mishnah that's coming up, Amar Rav Yehuda, Eimatai, when do we have this takana that you're allowed to read before Yudalit if you live in a village? That's only where they have a minyan, on Sheni V'Chamishi. B'mokam Shenichnosim B'Sheni V'Chamishi, but again, I'm saying this according to Rambam. According to Rashi, means where they have batei dinim. Avo makom she'enach nasim b'sheni b'chamishi. You never move out because you don't have a reason to move out. You read on the 14th the way you always do. Ein kornin otala b'zmana. Now this makes no sense, because if the whole point is for takanta de krachim, we want you to be available. So then, what? Just because you don't come in on sheni b'chamishi, we should give up on helping the krachim? We should make you go. Now this, you see, is a mucker for Rashi, if you think about it. Because what's the logic in the Gemara's question? If the idea is that they don't have a minion, then it's just as ridiculous to have them go back Monday. Why should we read on Monday if Purim is Tuesday? So what are we going to tell them? Because you have a minion? You don't have a minion. So we say, we don't have a minion. So if you're talking about Mokam Shenichnasim in the sense of Rashi, so we're going to say, okay, normally you wouldn't go into the town, but we'll be koveya this time that we should have all of the issues in town open for you. Okay, I understand that would make sense. But otherwise, it's a little bit funny to say, since it's a Yom HaKnisa in other places, so we'll make that. Unless you want to say that even if it's a question of having a minion, so we'll say, listen, you know what? You might as well make your minion for the Megillah on Monday, yesterday, so to speak, the day before, because that way you can be Yotze also the Takana of Ezra of having a Kriya Satira, and so you'll do the Kriya Satira together with the Kriya Megillah, and it won't only be the Kriya Satira for Purim. It'll be a Kriya Satira of the normal Monday. Maybe. Okay, just pointing it out. It's good to think about. So therefore, because of this question, the Gemara says, you're right. What Rabbi Chanina said, we misunderstood. The correct way is not in order to give them, lo tema kidei shiyasapku b'ayim u'mazon, in order to make the pizza deliveries, you should say, ela'ema mipnei shiyasapki b'ayim u'mazon l'achem shebekrachim. We feel that the kfarim deserve a little bit of a kula, to make life easier for them. Why? Because their relationship to the Krachim, again, this backs up Rashi's approach. Their relationship to the Krachim is a very positive one. They actually keep them in pizza. So because of that, the again, according to Rashi, the relationship that they should be able to take advantage of the Yom HaKnisa in the Krachim, which is the way he learns it, makes a great deal of sense. It's tit for tat. They're so good to the Krachim, we allow them to have that additional kula that they go into the Krachim. Masha Enken, according to the other Rishonim, there's no real tit for tat. It's just that since they are useful for the Krachim, so we give them back the right to have their own Yom HaKnisa in Shul. And it might be, I didn't see this anywhere, but it always struck me that the original way that we read Rabbi Chanina was not totally wrong. And it actually would be necessary to say, if you're learning it the way the Rambam is learning it. Because the Kedesh Yisapku is not why we gave them the Kula. It's why it makes sense to give them the Kula. So in other words, we give them the Kula because of the fact that they deserve it. But since that is what they did to deserve the Kula, it's going to end up helping the Krachim because Lamaisa, they will be available for Purim pizza deliveries. And therefore, it makes sense that it's a tit-for-tat kind of thing to Bedavka allow them to go into their shul on the day before. And that way, they'll also Lamaisa be helping out the Krachim, which is the reason that we gave them the schus in the first place, you see. So that interrelates the two Ma'amorim of Rabbi Chanina. Okay, now, let's go on to the next piece of the Mishnah, because the next piece of the Mishnah is structured a little bit weirdly, okay? Because we started off with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Megillah Nikres, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tetvav. Now, that is all in order of the days of the month, the 11th, 12th, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. But then the next piece of the Mishnah stops talking about the days of the month. It no longer talks about the date. It starts talking about the days of the week. So, I mean, why did we do that? Why didn't we, like, talk about the same order? We end up having it backwards this way, because first we describe how we get to the 13th, then we get to the 12th, then we get to the 11th, right? So, well, how do you explain that? So the Mishnah starts with Chaliot B'Sheni B'Shabbat, Kvarim V'Ayarot Gedolot Korim Bo B'Yom. Now, explain to me the way that the Mishnah is written. Ma'ishna Reish Denakat Sidura De'Yarcha. Right in the beginning, we talk about the date of the month, not the day of the week. It's not about the day, it's about the month. But then, when we come to say Ketzad, and we explain it, we flip, we don't even mention the date, right? You have to figure out, when you read the Mishnah, oh, that would mean they read on the 13th. Oh, that would mean they read on the 12th. But what about the 11th? Ah, that would mean they read on the 11th. The Mishnah doesn't even explain that. So it's really very striking. It's not only a change in direction, but it's also a change in whether we mention it, Bichlal. We end up going backwards. We end up going forward with the day of the week. And I mean, it just like, it doesn't really balance out very well. So, Ma'ishna is safe in the Nakat Sidur de Yume. Says the Gemara, it's exactly the point. Because suppose I would stick to the structure of the month, okay? I'll tell you the date. The only way I could tell you the date is if we start off with the 11th. But if we start off with the 11th, then we have to start going backwards in the date, the day of the week. Because that's how we got back to the 11th. If it comes out on Sunday, if it comes out on Sunday, then it's the 11th. If it comes out the Shabbos before the Sunday, then it's the 12th. Wait a minute. Now, this is the recognizing that the brain does not work easily in two opposite directions at once. And by the way, this is very nogea, the question of reading the text. What do they call those texts they put in underneath the movies? Subtitles, right. So reading subtitles in Hebrew is a tremendous problem because the visual processing of the movie is actually done by, if you're reading from left to right, then you're using a completely different part of your brain for reading. If you read from right to left, it's a completely different part of the brain. This fascinating story that a neurologist brings, beautiful story of this guy that had a stroke. He was a college professor and his whole life was literature. He wakes up one morning, picks up the newspaper. It squiggled. He can't read one word of it. So he had had a stroke in that processing part of his brain. He could not read. It was mamish a tragedy. And this was like before audible books. What was he going to do? Anyway, it was mamish. The guy says that he met him like 6 months later thinking he was going to be like, they had nothing to do for it. There was no way to give him back his reading. So he asked him, he met him 6 months later. So he asks him, how are you making out? Oh, he says, I'm doing wonderfully. I just finished Shai Agnon's. I forgot which book it was. Shai Agnon. Yeah, I taught myself Hebrew. And the guy, oh my God, brilliant. He couldn't read from left to right. But it's a completely different part of the brain that reads from right to left. Can you imagine? So he was able to read perfectly well by learning Hebrew. Incredible story. So anyway, the Mishnah actually recognizes this problem. If we're going to start talking to you about the days of the date of the month, and you're going to have to process it by moving in the opposite direction to the day of the week, you'll flip out. So therefore, in order to prevent confusion in the Girsa, we bedafka did it this way. So when we're presenting when the Megillah is read, we present a normal Yud, Aleph Yud, Beis Yud Gimel. When we present how that's possible, we maintain the same direction by talking about what happens if it's a Monday, if it's a Tuesday, if it's a Wednesday, if it's a Thursday, if it's a Friday, so that way we finally end up with a Sunday, the following Sunday. And the following Sunday takes us all the way back to the previous 11th. But that you could figure out afterwards. And therefore, says Rashi, we didn't even want to mention the date. Because if we would have mentioned the date, we allow you to figure it out. If we would have mentioned it, then you would have been going in two directions again. Fantastic. I see everything that's taken into consideration in the structure of the Mishnah. It's lovely. Okay, now we get into the next thing. What happens if, let's go through each one. So the case that we had is when you have the Purim, meaning whenever we say Purim Stam, we mean Yud Dalet. So you have Yud Dalet on an Erev Shabbos. So what does it say in the Mishnah? It says that the Kvarim are Magdimim L'Yom HaKnisa. Well, of course, they'll read on Thursday. But then it says that both the Kvarim and the Krachim read on the same day, on an Erev Shabbos. Now, that is not so posh. It's what our Mishnah says. But we know that there's major machlokas about this, and therefore, whose shita is the Mishnah? Matnit in Mani. Well, the Mishnah could be either Rebbe or Rebbe Yossi. Now we'll see that there's divergent opinions in both directions. So one set of divergent opinions has Rebbe as the sheet of our Mishnah. The other set has Rebbe Yossi as the sheet that fits our Mishnah. So my Rebbe, what do you mean? D'tanya, Chaliyot Erev Shabbat. In a bright that says like this, that if the 14th actually comes out on Erev Shabbos, so then the Kvarim, the Ayarot, Gedolot, or Makdimim, L'Yom HaKnisa. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. So over here it says that even the people that would normally have read on that day, it's the 14th, it's the Erev Shabbos, and they live in a regular town, a large town, but not Mukav Choma, they don't read on their day. They go back to the Yom HaKnisa as if they are a Kvar. Now that's very different from our Mishnah. They read on Thursday. The only ones who read on Friday are the Mukafot Choma. So the Mukafin Choma, Karim Bo Bayom. Not like our Mishnah. Rebbe says, I say, Omer Ani, no way. Lo yidachu ayarot mimekoman. We don't move the people away from their normal day when it's available. It's available because today is a Friday, and therefore they should read on the Friday as they always do. Of course, there's no way for the Mukafot Choma to read tomorrow because of the Gezerah. There's no way to put it off till Sunday because v'lo yavor. So they'll all have to read on the same day. Elu ve'elu korim bo bayon. So what's the basis really of the machlokas here? My time at the Tanakama. So here's our problem. It says in the Megillah, liyot osim et shnei hayamim ha'ela kichtavam uchizmanam B'chol shana v'shana. Now, what do you mean, b'chol shana v'shana? I mean, what would we think? That maybe we should do Purim only on Shemitah? Or we should do Purim only every other year? Obviously, it's b'chol shana v'shana. I mean, did the Torah ever say about Pesach and Sukkot that it's b'chol shana v'shana? This is the mitzvah. This is the date, of course. So therefore, we understand that b'chol shana v'shana is a profoundly important piece of information. Every Purim has to look structurally the way it looked in other years, which means that as much as is possible, we will not change the structure, Seder, and Dinim of Purim from one year to another, despite the fact that we run into problems, like the Gezerah of Rabbah, for instance, right? So now, therefore, says the Tanna Kamma, look, it says B'chol Shana V'Shana, and what is like the most striking thing of B'chol Shana V'Shana is that the Arei HaPrazim, they always read the day before the Mukafim, right? Okay, so we never have them reading together. So therefore, here too, if the Mukafim cannot read on Tesvav because of the Gzeirah of Shabbos, so then we'll have to push them back in order that they should remain the day before. So I have to take the Prazim, move them back a day, because I need to move the Mukafot, and therefore we move them back as a group. But that way they remain the same, and that they read on the day before. Well, says the Gemara, look, I mean, you're violating the B'chol Shana V'Shana on some level. I mean, they're not reading on the 14th, okay? So what makes you think to violate that part, the 14th part? Let's do it the other way around. Let's say, B'chol Shana V'Shana, just like every single year, we don't just wantonly take away the 14th from the Ayarot. So just like every year, they read on the 14th. They should. That's much more striking to me than the question of whether they're reading the day before. Afkan lo yidachu ayarot bimekoman. So then the most important thing, don't change them. And if they have to read the same day, so they'll read the same. Anyway, you're not doing it the same way you do it every year. So isn't it more important that they remain on their day of reading it? Says the Gemara. No. The Tanna Kamma holds. Shine Hocha Delo Efshar. It's absolutely essential that they not be reading on the same time they have to read before. And therefore, since it's Lo Efshar, we have to maintain that. Now, that means that that's Gufa, the question. What do we look at as being the most important point? And of course, that ends up being the Machlokas between Rebbe and the Tanna Kamma. Because Rebbe obviously says the opposite. Rebbe Maitaima. Well, says Rebbe, it says Kol Shana V'Shana. If every single year the Ayarot always read on the 14th, so then that is very striking. We have to keep that. Afkan lo yidachu Ayarot bimekoman. Ask the Gemara, but why not read Kol Shana V'Shana? Ma Kol Shana V'Shana? We have the Ayarot reading prior to the Mukafim. So that, isn't that very important? Afkan, the Ayarot are kodmot l'mukafim. Shine Yochad or Efshar? Says Rebbe, no. It's actually not as important as the other point. Now, you understand that that implies a different tfisa of the main logic behind the structure of Purim. So, in other words, if you're going to tell me that the most important point is the reading of the Ayarot on the 14th, then what you're telling me is very similar to what the Ramban said, that is because the original Kabbalah was that the main response of Klal Yisrael was in the Prazim, which they took on themselves, and only later did we make the Takana of Purim to match Kasher Kiblu Aleihem Ayudim at the beginning. So that's something we're not going to touch. Masha Inkin, if you learn that the structure of the before and after is important, it means that you view the events as having been a gradated miracle, so that we had first the Zechus to one level of a Nes, and then came that additional level of Nes in Shushan Purim, as we've explained, that was an completely different Darga of a Hanhaga, in which Poras became dependent on the way that Yisrael would see it. That needs to be seen as a separate step. In which case, what he's stating is that the main idea is this, that's the Tanna Kamma, the main idea is the stepped understanding of the gradual gilui of the Shechina on Purim. So it's tremendously important, Machlokas. And we'll see now that we go into understanding Rabbi Yossi, we have further sophistication here. Because when we said Rebbe, which it could also be Rabbi Yossi, where's Rabbi Yossi? There we have a completely different approach. The Tanya, take a look at this braisa. Chaliyot be'erev Shabbat, mukafim ukvarim makdimim leyom haknisa. Oh my God, what a chap! Instead of the people reading on the 14th being Maktim Liyom HaKnisa, we take the Mukofim, who are unable to read on Shabbos, and we push them back to Thursday, instead of pushing them back to Friday. So this would be the second example we've had, first time in the Gemara Beferish, where Mukafot can actually go back to the Yom HaKnisa. We were talking about, well, you don't have Asor Batlonim, and they have it in, according to those Rishonim, who argue on Tosfos and learn that the Krach is a reference even to a Krach Mukav. So this is wonderful. So this is like a completely new Shita. Here's yet a third Shita. So it's the 15th readers that go back to read on the 13th in this case. They go back all the way back to Thursday, and now they're in the opposite order. So the people on the 14th, they stick to the 14th, and the people on the 15th, they go to the 13th. It's like unbelievable. Whereas Rav Yossi says, no. The Mukafim never go before the Ayarot. That's ridiculous. They have to read on the same day. Okay, so now again, what's the svar of the Tanakhama? Bekol shana v'shana, like we said. Ma kol shana v'shana Ayarot baraba, sarv zmano shel zeh, lo zmano shel zeh. Furthermore, says the Tanakhama, if it's a given that I have to read on the 14th, then it's a given that the Mukafot will not be able to read on the same day as I read, because it says Zmanayem, Zmano Shoseh, Enok Zmano Shoseh. So we have no choice. They'll have to read before. Afkanaya wrote Bihar Ba'asar. So therefore, the important thing is that we understand that there were two different experiences of Purim, but it's not necessary that it be gradated in that fashion. We still want to hold on. You see how this is more sophisticated now. We need to hold on to the original Takana that they were Makabal prior to the Takana, that they were Makabal on themselves, which was on the 14th, that they have to hold on to. So this is now takes both issues, right? It puts them together. This is such an exciting subject. So, and Zmano Shoseh, Lok Zmano Shoseh. But ask the Gemara, the obvious question, why not say the other way around? And why not say, Bekol Shana V'Shana? I mean, isn't Bekol Shana V'Shana rather striking that the Mukafim never come before the Ayarot? Because after all, it was a gradated Nes. So Afkan Ein Mukafim Kodmin La'Ayarot. Why wouldn't that be the most important point? No. Shanei Achadu Lo Efshar. What are we supposed to do? There's no way to avoid having the Mukafim before if it's absolutely essential that the people in the Prazim always should have their original acceptance of the Nes on the 14th. Amazing. And Rabbi Yossi, obviously, darshans exactly the opposite of the way we wanted to say. Bekol shana v'shana, ma kol shana v'shana, ein mukafim kodmin la'ayarot, afkan ein mukafim kodmin la'ayarot. And therefore, that would gufa be the machlokas. But why not say, because shana v'shana means exactly the opposite, like the Tanakhama? Ma kol shana v'shana zmano shezeh lo zmano shezeh, and that's the most important thing. Afkan zmano shezeh lo zmano shezeh. So how can Rabbi Yossi say, like the Mishnah, that the Mukafot Choma will read on the same day as the Ayarot? If that was like so important, that would be lav zmano shezeh. No, what can you do? Shanei Ochadu Lo Efshar, because as we said, the most important thing is for the Ayarot to be on the 14th. Now, Rebbe therefore was saying like our Mishnah. V'sova Rebbe Ayarot Lo Dachina L'Yom HaKnisa. So the main point that Rebbe is making is that you do not move and you stick to the Erev Shabbos. Is that true? That we will not move a city and treat it like a kvar to go back to the Yom HaKnisa? There's a braita that says not like that. And it's Rebbe. It says, Chaliyot b'Shabbat, kvarim makdimim l'Yom HaKnisa, v'ayarot gedolot korim be'erev Shabbat, and mukafot choma l'machar. But Rebbe says, I say, Omer ani, once we already moved the ayarot, and here it's where the 14th is a Shabbos, I say once we moved the Ayarot, because you can't read on Shabbos, So then let them go back, not to Erev Shabbos, let them go back to Thursday, which is the Yom HaKnisah. So here Rebbe is saying, we do move the Ayarot to Yom HaKnisah. Says the Gemara, what a silly question. It's obvious what the difference is. Hachi Hashta, Hatam Zmanam Shabbati. The case in this Brisa, the correct time is Shabbos, which is the 14th. Anyway, we have to move them. So if anyway we have to move them, then let's move them to the Yom HaKnisah and preserve that. That makes perfectly good sense. So hold the nitchu yidachu. You're trying to compare that to the case we were talking about before, where the 14th comes out on an Erev Shabbos, where Zmanam is Erev Shabbos. If that's Zmanam, then I say we do not move them away from Zmanam. The Kamana Zohadim Reb Chalbo Om Reb Huna Purim Shechala Yod B'Shabbat Hakol Nidachim L'Yom HaKnisah. So remember that we had a three-way machlokas, actually. We had the Tanakama of Rebbe and Rebbe, and we had the Tanakama of Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yossi. And therefore, we want to figure out what it was that Rav Huna was saying when he said that once Purim, meaning remember, whenever we just say the word Stam Purim, we mean Purim of the 14th. So if Purim comes out on a Shabbos, then everybody goes back to the Yom HaKnisah, which would be the previous Thursday. Now, that doesn't make any sense, Bechlal, because nobody holds that. Why would it be true? Certainly, you can't mean everybody, because if Purim is on Shabbos, then that means that the Mukafim will still be able to read normally on Sunday, so why shouldn't they? V'yayika Mukafim da'avdela machar, Ella, what he must have meant, was that whoever is going to be put off should be put off to the Yom HaKnisah, but that we don't put you off just to Erev Shabbos. So who does that go according to? Oh, that's precisely, that goes according to Rebbe. Obviously, it also goes according to our Mishnah. It's a little bit strange that it says it goes according to Rebbe, but since we're trying to trace the author of the Shitas, so we don't, just like we said before, Kaman Ozla, we wanted to identify. We identified it as Rebbe. So we talk about it here in this sugya where we're making clear who the people are that hold the various shitas. It's not going to help us to say it's going like the Mishnah. So it's going like Rebbe. Anyway, but one thing is clear from the whole discussion we had the whole day yesterday, and that is that for sure there's no one who says that we should read the Megillah on Shabbos. Now, why is that so clear? The Kulei Alma Mia, Megillah b'Shabbat lo karina. Why? My time. Omar Rabba, kol chayavim b'kriyat Megillah, v'en hakol b'kiyam b'kriyat Megillah. Look, everybody is pretty desperate to get this mitzvah done because everybody's chayav in the kriya. That's the meaning of the words hakol chayavim b'kriyat Megillah, obviously. But it adds the fact that because of that chiyav, there's a sense of pressure. And pressure makes mistakes. And because of that, as we know, even in industrial rules and so on, it's the worst possible thing. And therefore, in order to make certain that since and you're going to have to go and find somebody who is a Bucky, who is going to help you either read from it, but hopefully you will learn from him at least, or he'll check that your reading is good, which is why you'll bring him a Megillah. So Gizera Shema Yitlana Biadova Yelachet Zoboki Lilmod, we're very frightened that you're going to make a mistake about Shabbos. The Avirenu Arba Amot Urshut Arabim, as we spoke yesterday, it's about Chlokas Rashi and Tosfos in numerous places about what the additional point is of saying Arba Amot Urshut Arabim instead of saying from Urshut Ayochit to Urshut Arabim or vice versa. Hainu time in the shofar, hainu time in the lulav, and as we've already seen this recently, so when we learned sukkah, we saw that this was the meaning of the gezerah when it came to the lulav, and when we learned Rosh Hashanah, we found out that this is the meaning of shofar. They're all because of this gezerah. Rav Yosef says, well, there's more to it than that. We would not be able to read the Megillah on Shabbos, even if there were no problem of Shema Yavirenu. How could that be, by the way? Tosis has an interesting point. Suppose you're in the Beis HaMikdash. So, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. So maybe in that case, we should have been Metakein, that someone who's actually in the Mikdash would be Kerei even on Shabbos, just like the other Shvusim or not. Listen, we have our Lulav in the Shabbos, we blow the in the Mikdash, right? And we blow the Shofar. So why shouldn't we read the Megillah? That's where Rabbi Yosef is coming to say, listen, there's another issue. The other issue is mipnei she'einehem shel aniyim are nesuot b'mikra megillah. All of the aniyim are waiting for that special moment of the year when people are all gathered together and when they have to, they have a captive audience. As we well know what that's like. They have a captive audience in the shul and they're hitting everybody up, going from one guy to the next. And it's a mitzvah to give to aniyim without being chayker v'derish. What do you need the money for? And so on. So this is the big moment. How are we going to do that on Shabbos? Oh my God, that's a disaster. So nobody's going to be able to give you money on Shabbos and so on. So because of that, we wouldn't do it b'chalal. And you could see that this is a valid concern from the Braita, which backs up Rabbi Yosef's contention. Tanya Amihachi, I mean, not in this context, but still the idea that Einayim is Nesuas, because here it says, Afa pisha amru kvarim akdimim liyom haknisa, even though it says that those people who are able to go, whatever, the Kvarim, so they go back to the previous Thursday or the previous Monday, but they do collect the tzedakah on that day and they give it out on that day to the aniyim. What do you mean, even though? It's not even though. What's wrong with you? It's because. What? Afalpi? What do you mean, afalpi? Adarabba. It's mishum da'amru, since that's when you're supposed to read, that's when you collect. Sorry. I mean, ho'il va'amru, shekvarim akdimim l'yom haknisa, once we made that takana, so then even though for all of the other issues, like the question of when you're going to make your su'udas purim and be mekayim mishloach manos and so on, they did not say that those mitzvahs changed to the yom haknisa, but because it's the day that the aniyim are waiting for it, we are govim bo b'yom and mechalkim bo b'yom b'pnei she'enehem shel aniyim nisuot b'mikra megillah, and therefore we have to do it on that. If that's the case, so then what Rabbi Yosef said to add an additional reason why we do not do it on Shabbos makes a heck of a lot of sense. But, continues the Gemara, aval, but when we're talking about over here the dinim of simcha and the su'uda, that's ena noheget ela bizmana, and because of that, now this is a big machlokas, what about the din of the su'uda? Because the su'uda, l'chora, you would be able to eat on your Purim, even if it's a Shabbos. So what would be wrong to do the actual achiva and have your, and you do extras, you do something to show that this is the Purim su'uda. And there are, in fact, Rishonim that say that you should do this. This comes out, of course, where you have the Purim Mishulash, the big machlokas. When do you keep the Purim Su'udah? So in the Yerushalmi, it says definitely you do not do a Purim Su'udah on Shabbos. However, Lomaisa, we don't see that in the Bavli. And we do know that there are many Rishonim who say, based on the Sugya later on in the Mishnah, that you do this Su'udah Purim on Shabbos. And because of that, Lomaisa, we paskin like the Yerushalmi. But because of that, a lot of people do both. They also add to the Suda, and they say this is L'Shem on Shabbos, L'Shem the Simchas Purim, and so on. Omar Rav, Megillah Bizmana. So when you're reading the Megillah at the correct time, so then Korinota Filo B'Yachid, you're allowed to read it not with a minyan. But Shalom Bizmana, if you're going to a different time, then you have to read it only with a minyan. Because at that time, we don't have the same sense of Pursume Nisa unless we're bringing people together, because it's not like the big happy day of Purim and so on. Now, the question is, what is this referring to? Because are we talking about not at the correct time? That is to say, as many Rishonim hold, when they're Makdim Liyom HaKnisa, so over there, they really are Yechidim when nobody else is keeping Purim. Or are we saying this even where we are being Makdim because it came out on Shabbos and everybody is being mocked, and therefore there is Pursume Nisa, and maybe that's not called Shalom Bizmana. This is also a big machlokas, whether that's called Shalom Bizmana or Shalom Bizmana is Dafka, where it's literally not on the 14th or on the 15th. Because, I mean, you can see this far, if everybody's going to be reading at the same time, so then there would be the same sense of Pursume Nisa. Okay, you can also see this far the other way, because it's not the big to-do about Purim, and you don't have all those crazy Breslov trucks running down the street making a bunch of noise and so on. So because of that, you might miss the Pursume Nisa. And a lot of the nays has to do with the people who prepare cans of spaghetti with that stuff to throw on those trucks and so on. But as you can see, I may be a bit prejudiced. Ravasi Amar, whereas Ravasi says it doesn't matter. Ben bismana, ben shalom bismana. We always need to make sure that you read it with a minyan. Machlokas over here of the Peskim Rishonim, I should say, in Ravasi, whether he means this le'ikuva, and you're not yotze, unless you have a minyan, or he means that you have to be toreach to find a minyan when that is possible. Lemaisa, we paskim like Rav, and the truth is that Rav seems to say that if it's shalom bismana, you do need. But the problem is, mi omer Rav hachi, did Rav say that you need it if it's shalom bismana, you do need a minyan? The omer of Yerubaredu Rishmo Bashmilas Bishmei de Rav. Then in the case where Purim comes out on a Shabbos, then Erev Shabbat Zmanam, the correct time for Purim, meaning for the Megillah, is Erev Shabbos. What are you saying? Erev Shabbat Zmanam? It's certainly not Zmanam. We were just talking about the whole point of Bismanam or Shalom Bismanam. I was saying the time, their time, the time Kavu. I mean, Shabbos is the time. The point is we made a Gezerah afterwards. Remember, this whole Gezerah was not Merumas in the Megillah, nor is it true that it was the original Takana of the Nevi'im was not to read it on Shabbos. There's no additional time when Purim comes out on Shabbos. So then it's very misleading to say this, because we're actually Shabbos is Manam. Then we have a Takana Midrabanan, in which we're Derish Zmanam, Kizmanayam, Kizmanam, and so on. Fine. But the correct time is certainly Shabbos. So what exactly do you mean? It could only mean one thing, that what you're trying to say is Ela Lav Hachikoma. Shalom bismanam is kizmanam, that we're going to treat Shabbos as if it were their correct time. In what terms of what? In terms of needing a minyan. So just like I told you that at the correct time, you don't need a minyan. So zmazmanam afil b'yochid, then Rav seems to be saying, not what you just said. You said Rav was made of when it's shalom bismanam, when you're a deicha, that then enochinam, you do need a minyan. And here Rav says, treat shalom bismanam exactly the same as if it is bismanam. So what is the real Rav's psak? Says the Gemara, well, you're reading it wrong. There's another meaning to that piece, you see. Lo, what we're talking about is not benogea this halacha, as far as the inyan of Mikra Megillah Basora, that's not what he was referring to. When he said, Erev Zmanam is Zmanam, and it's the same halacha, it's not that it's the same halacha. He's coming to tell you the Chiddush that Erev Zmanam is Zmanam, meaning the time to read is Erev Shabbos, because you might have thought that you should go according to Rebbe. And Rebbe said, listen, Oymer Ani, Hoyel V'nitchu Yidachu, that once you have to push the ayarot away from their time. So then we push it away all the way back to the Yom HaKnisa, which we said before. So therefore comes along Rav to say, well, we don't paskin like that. Actually, the correct time to read the Megillah would be on Erev Shabbos if you're living in one of the large towns. That's not Mukaf Eschema. You don't go back to the Yom HaKnisa.